Well, good morning. It's great to have each of you here this morning. If you are visiting with us, welcome. It's just a pleasure to have you with us worshiping this morning. If you're with us online, if you're viewing online, welcome. It's wonderful to have you joining us digitally this morning. And we are just looking forward to a wonderful service together. In your bulletin, there are a number of announcements that that is good for you to do. One of the things that we're running into is that as there's more stuff going on, especially around this Christmas season, we are kind of reaching a max. Like if we start talking about all the announcements, we'll never give any time for the preacher. So we're going to encourage you to go into the bulletin and look at the announcements and read through those a little bit so you can see what's going on here in the church. Just one reminder, I did want to remind you that there are several ways for those of you who financially support Redeemer, if you are a member here or you are a regular attender, there are several different ways that you can give to the church, and those ways are listed on the back of the bulletin. You can do it online, and you can also, there are some wooden boxes in the back where you can place your donation in there if you'd like to. And so I've said many times that that a church, in order for a church to function, it needs to be supported by the people who are the members as well as the regular attenders. If you're a visitor, we're just happy you're here this morning. We're just thrilled that you're here with us. So you don't need to. We're not looking for you to give or whatever. But if you're a regular, in order for us to continue to do ministry here at the church, we do need your financial support. So just encourage you to think about that and pray about how you can be a part of supporting the ministry here at Redeemer. Let me open us up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come together with others who love you or are in the process of finding out more about you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to turn our attention on you. It's very difficult throughout the week. There's so many things that are going on in our lives. There's so many things that are pulling on us. So many worries and so many concerns and so many stressors that we deal with each and every day. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us the ability this morning to focus our attention on you. Focus our attention on what you've done for us. And focus our attention on being together with other people who are doing the same thing. I pray, Lord, that you would be in this service, move in this service, and I pray, Lord, that you would speak to the hearts of every single person in this room or every single person that's on their way. We love you and we pray all these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I want every child to know that there's a God. I want every child to know that God loves them, that God sent his Son from heaven to this earth to take our sins. We've got a charge to go into the world, to make disciples of all nations, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God, here I am. Take me and send me and use me.
God laid it on my heart. The Himbas need someone to give them the word of God.
My vision for the Salamakan tribe is that we will share the gospel and to establish a house church here so that they also can receive the blessing of Christ.
Through the gift boxes, we are going places that no church will be allowed. Places like Gambi, that floating village.
We are reaching those that have never heard the gospel.
We find them having not even a Bible in their own language.
Areas of the world where people need to know that God loves them and cares for them and sent his Son from heaven to this earth for them.
God loves you and God loves me.
Operation Christmas Child opened doors to evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication.
When a child receives a shoebox, it shows them who God really is and how much he cares for them.
we bring gift to the children, also the mothers and the fathers and their brothers and sisters also accepted the Lord Jesus Christ.
Churches are using these shoeboxes, the Greatest Journey Discipleship Program, to reach out to the ends of the earth with the gospel.
God sent His Son to this earth on a rescue mission. Jesus Christ died and shed His blood on the cross for our sin. And then on the third day, God in heaven said, it's enough, and He raised His Son to life. This is the good news, and we've got a responsibility to take this message to the ends of the earth.
Isn't it exciting to see what God is doing with your box? I mean, yes. So thank you for bringing your boxes today. If you haven't had the opportunity to do it, you still can. We'll be collecting boxes. This is National Collection Week, so the absolute deadline is the 20th. And we do have some boxes left, so if you're thinking, you know, I was thinking about doing that and just didn't do it, but you still have a chance. So I just want to encourage you to do that. But thank you for those of you who have already filled your boxes and brought them back. And so the next opportunity you have is to volunteer this week. We have several of you who have volunteered. We have this Monday through the following Monday. The volunteer sheets are on the back table. I know you have questions. If you're not sure, just come up and see what we're doing. Find out. And then I can't promise you that we won't put you to work when you get here. But if you're just kind of wondering and thinking whether or not this is something you want to be involved with, just come on up and check it out. Just encourage you to do that. Hannah is one of our volunteers. She's a greeter. She'll help direct people coming in off the street, showing them where to come in and put their box, come inside the church. We have people who can be hosts, who will be greeters, who will take time to find out who the people are, get to know them a little bit, if they have prayer requests, to pray with them. We also need volunteers who would be willing to take the boxes from the car into the church. And then we also need volunteers who will be willing to take each box and box them into the bigger containers that we'll be taking to the central location daily. So thank you.
Yeah, give it up for Hannah. That's awesome. Well, good morning, Redeemer. Why don't we stand to our feet and praise our Lord together?
This place again with your song. Flood our thoughts with wonder and awe. Give us a greater glimpse of a never-changing God. All we want and all we need is found in you, is found in you, Jesus. Every victory is found in you, is found in you. Oh, 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 oh. Open wide our hearts now to yours. Every fear, bow down to your love. That we would see like never before. Give us a greater glimpse of a never-changing God. All we want and all we need is found in you, is found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, is found in you. All we want and all we need is found in you, found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, found in you. Oh, 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 oh. In your presence, in your presence, there is freedom. In your presence, we are made whole. In your presence, there is freedom. In your presence, we are made whole. All we want and all we need is found in you. Is found in you, Jesus, every victory is found in you, found in you. All we want and all we need is found in you, found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, found in you. Oh, oh, oh. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm really glad you're here this morning. All right, everybody. Let's make our way back to our places. Remain standing as we focus on the scriptures for one moment here.
Thank you. We are going to read from Psalm 24, 1 through 6, a psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? Good question, right? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek thy face, even Jacob. Remain standing.
Amen. Thank you.
Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings, oh mine, with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
We're going to make this song about the Lord. Is that okay with you guys? There's a lot of songs that are about a lot of things, but even worship songs sometimes get a little too self-centered. Well, and it's great what the Lord does for us, but the fact that His Holy Spirit is here with us right now is something that we forget about. It's something that we need to be reminded of, that He's right here in our presence. And we need to take a moment to acknowledge that the God we're singing to isn't up there in heaven. He's not just up there. He's right here with us, as close as your neighbor right there in the pew is.
Nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence I've tasted and sing of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are God is that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are
all my life you have
have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so,
so good.
With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you that you are good. And thank you that you're here with us. And thank you that you continually forgive us for trespassing against you, for doing the things that we know are wrong. And we do those things, and you say, hey, come back to me. I'm right here. I love you. This unconditional love that we can't find anywhere else. Lord, we praise you, and we love you. We pray that this morning we would remember that the reason we gather here isn't just for ourselves and these great things that you do for us, but it's to proclaim who you are amongst the nations and the world. And I pray that this morning we would open our hearts to receive anything you have for us, that you would change us to be more like you. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
We are moving into a really exciting season here at this church. And I've told you before, there's a lot of advantages to being in my position, because then I can see some of the stuff that's coming. And there's some really exciting things coming. One of the things that I wasn't planning to say, but I need to say, we had a Christmas tree delivered that needs to be put up after the service. So if you're tall and you can help with that, Gail would love your help. But there's a bunch of other stuff that's going on too. This week is the drop-off for Operation Christmas Child. So what that means is that our doors are going to be open periodic times throughout the week, and there'll be people coming from all over Dallas to drop off these shoeboxes. And it's going to just be a really neat time of interacting with other people and just hanging out and having fun and being a part of this ministry. We also have a women's ministry event coming up. We're calling it Carols with Rebecca Carroll, and where it's just going to be a lot of fun. We're having just a lot of really great things happening. It's just going to be a way to kind of help everyone get into the Christmas season and the Christmas spirit. And then after that, while that's going on in the month of December, we have the 4 weeks of Advent, and we're looking forward to that time period where we're going to be talking about the Christmas season all through December. And it's just going to be a really great opportunity. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for you to be involved, to volunteer, whether it's with Operation Christmas Child or the different things that are going on. Plenty of opportunities for you to be involved with what's going on. Plenty of opportunities for you to be able to share your love or the love of the Lord with other people. And just opportunities for you to serve. This Christmas season, in addition to everything that you have going with your family, also here at the church, it's just going to be a really busy season. And one of the things that's a danger for us is when we get really busy, it's easy for us to lose sight of why we're doing what we're doing. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. We live in a culture that has this philosophy that if you do good things, either towards what they understand to be God or the universe, then God or the universe will give you good back. That's the environment we live in. And that's constantly repeated in Christmas movies and in Christmas cards. It's all over the place, this concept that if you do good, good will come back to you. And sometimes what happens is people who are involved in a church, we start to pick that up a little bit. And we start to become convinced that if we do good things, like Operation Christmas Child or something else, if we do good things, then the Lord will give us good back for what we're doing. And what happens oftentimes is as we begin to do that, we begin to lose sight of why we are doing what we're doing. And so this morning, I want to remind us of truth. You see, our culture is very much into doing things to obtain the Lord's favor so that the Lord will do stuff for us. That's what we think. That's what people think. And even people in the church sometimes have that. We have that mentality that if we do the things that God wants us to do, then the God will bless us. And this morning what I do is I want to challenge that thinking a little bit. And I want to pose this question to you. What is the Lord's favor? What is the Lord's favor? Is the Lord's favor for you? Or, as I'll argue this morning, is the Lord's favor for him? Now, if you can wrap your head around this, and it's early, I know this is a tough one to grasp, but if you can understand what we're going to be talking about here, the idea is that we do things for the Lord, but it doesn't have anything to do with us. We do things for the Lord simply for him. And so that's what this concept of is the Lord's favor. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. And what we've been doing the last few weeks as we go through this series is we're looking at the stories of things that have happened after the fall. Adam and Eve in the garden, they took the fruit, they ate from it, brought sin into their existence, and then we're starting to see all of the things that are falling apart because of that choice. And this morning we're going to run into a time period, and at the very end of this time period we meet a man named Noah. And so this story kind of sets up the story of Noah. And we're going to look at, so we're going to be in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8 is what we'll be talking about this morning. And there's some things that we're going to learn, and what I'm going to present to you is that the Lord's favor is His peace. The Lord's favor is His joy, and the Lord's favor is His hope. The idea here is that when humans, whether individuals or a group of people, do things for the Lord's benefit, to do things to be obedient, to avoid sin or whatever, when they do that, they're not doing it for some kind of a gain for them. They're actually doing it for the Lord Himself. And this is a concept that will revolutionize what you do and how you see your life if you can grasp it. But I'm letting you know right off the bat, some of this is contrary to what you've been understood from the culture that you live in. Because we live in a culture that says, do good and good stuff will happen to you. And the whole point of this is here, do good and it just goes one way to the Lord. So Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8 is where we're going to be this morning. And the first thing that we're going to see is that the Lord's favor is His peace. And what we're going to see as we look at this scenario is that the people that are being talked about here are doing this all wrong. And what happens because of what they do is the opposite of what we want to see happen. They're going to do it wrong. They're not going to try to get to the Lord's favor. And then you're going to see what happens is the opposite of what we want to see happen. So this is a negative example, and we don't want to follow this negative example. But the first thing is that the Lord's favor is His peace. But humanity at this point in the story is going to have anything but peace. They're not giving the Lord any peace whatsoever. Look with me at verse 1. Then the people began to multiply on the earth, and daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw the beautiful women and took any that they wanted as their wives. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. When the people began to multiply on the earth, this is a phrase that tells you about the time period when this story is happening. So it's after Adam and Eve and after the fall and sometime later, and now you're seeing that the population is exploding. Mommies and daddies are having baby humans, and there's lots of them that are out there. And so the Lord and then when people began to multiply on the earth, then daughters were born to them. And most likely this is being written right now is to remind you as the reader that up to this point, the story has been talking about boys. Because remember, it's looking for the promised descendant. So it says, this father had this son and this father had this son. It's all about boys. And it's just saying, hey, there were girls born in the middle of this too. They weren't part of the story before, but now they're going to come into play. And it says, then, and daughters were born to them. Verse 2, the sons of God. So that phrase has been understood many, 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 many different ways. And I think most likely what's being referred to is he's probably referring back to the genealogy a couple of chapters back where it said God had Adam, created Adam, and that Adam had Seth. And so it's referring, I take it, and I think there's, I'm not alone to say that it's most likely referring to the men. The men that are alive, the sons of God, saw the beautiful women. And you're getting a clue. In the English, it doesn't pick it up, but you're getting a clue. If you were reading this in the Hebrew, you'd be getting a clue, because it says the women looked tov. They looked good. The women looked good. Similar to what Adam and Eve saw when they were in the garden and they saw the fruit. The fruit looked good to their eyes. And there's a trigger here in your mind, like, uh-oh, something bad's about to happen. And certainly it does. The sons of God saw the beautiful women, and they took any they wanted as their wives. Now, contextually, when we hear wives, we think a pastor and a husband and a wife, and they get married in a marriage ceremony, and their family's all there, and they leave out and happily ever after. Okay, it's not really talking about a wife here. Actually, it probably means they took any they wanted as their woman. The context here is that they were just picking them out. The guys are walking around like, ah, she looks good to me. I'll take her to be mine. Oh, and she looks good too. I'll take her to be mine. And so what these guys are doing is they're not following the Lord's pattern of a man and a woman having a family and creating children, of having children. It's not that. Guys are walking around saying, this looks good to me, I'll take it. This looks good to me, I'll take it. And so the whole thing is that humanity, especially the men in this part of it, they're doing what they want to do. They're not following the Lord's pattern, how the Lord said they should do it. They're doing what looks good in their eyes. The sons of God saw the beautiful women and took any that they wanted as their wives. In verse 3, then the Lord said, my spirit will not put up with these humans for such a long time. Remember, at this point, most people are living about 900 years. For they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. And so what you'll see shortly after this is then lifespans completely change. And now men, all humanity, are living around 100 years from this point forward. And the idea here is that the Lord is saying, y'all are doing your own thing. You're not listening to me. You're not trying to do things the way I want it done. And you know what? 900 years is a long time to put up with you. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to give you about 120 and see if you can figure it out. If you can't figure it out, maybe one of your kids will. And if you really listen to this, there's this tension, there's this conflict. Humans are making choices, and the choices that they're making is not to serve the Lord, not to try to obtain the Lord's favor, not to do what the Lord wants. They're doing what they want to do. And what it's doing is it's creating tension for the Lord. Instead of people seeking the Lord's favor and giving him a sense of peace, people are doing what they want to do and giving him a sense of conflict. And the stretch that I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help you see is that our decisions, the things that we choose to do or choose not to do, not only affect us, but they affect the Lord. In this example, it affected him poorly. Their decisions to do their own thing created a situation between them and the Lord where the Lord did not have peace. He had conflict. But if a person lives for the favor of the Lord, they give the Lord a sense of peace. This past week, I was in a class, and I was talking to a fellow student. And he asked how, everybody pretty much knows that I'm a pastor. And so they, hey, how's church going? And I, this particular one, we had just finished talking about Operation Christmas Child. So I was pretty excited. I was like, man, this is great. We've got this big Operation Christmas Child push, and everybody's really excited about it. And it's like, it's having a unifying aspect of the church. I think it's really, really cool. What I didn't pick up on early, and then I figured out later, he wasn't really looking to ask me how things were going. He wanted to share how things were going at his church, where he worships. And then he went on to say how things are not doing great, and things are going bad, and things are awful. And I heard what was going on, and it broke my heart. And I was just kind of like, man, that's terrible. That's such an awful thing to hear happen. And here I just talked about all the cool things that were happening here, and then he's talking about all the not cool things that are happening there, and it broke my heart. But here's the thing. I only know like this much of what's going on. I have no idea. But the Lord, he knows everything. He knows all the people that are involved in that church. He knows all of their sins and all of their struggles. He knows all of that. If I'm brokenhearted and I had like a 30-second conversation, how does God feel about that situation? My heart was broken, but his has to be. Even more so because he knows more. And the stretch that I'm trying to help you see, the thing that I'm trying to help you understand here is that our decision to seek the Lord's favor has an emotional impact, as far as we understand about God, has an impact on him. When you and I don't seek the Lord's favor and we do our own thing, it has the effect on him that it brings conflict into his existence. When you and I seek the Lord's favor and we try to do the things that the Lord wants us to do, it has an effect on him and it gives him a sense of peace. For example, if we were to imagine, I want you to imagine for a second that later this week, the Lord looked down on the Operation Christmas Child that's going on here this week, the volunteering that's going to be going on. If he were to look down in that situation and he were to see these people volunteering and putting their time in and just generally trying to do the right thing, that's something that he is going to see and that's going to have an effect on him. He's going to have a sense of peace about what's going on. Instead of looking down and seeing us doing a whole bunch of things we shouldn't be doing, he's going to look down and seeing us doing something positive, and that's going to give him a sense of peace. And so this morning, as we look at this passage, as you see this example of what's going on here, is that these men and these women are not seeking the Lord's favor. And because they're not seeking the Lord's favor, it's creating conflict. It's creating a difficulty in the Lord. And the Lord has to deal with that. And the flip side is true, is if you and I live our lives where we're trying to obtain the Lord's favor, then that brings a situation about for him where there's peace in his side. And this morning, I think the overarching concept that I really want to convey, the overarching thing that I want to communicate this morning is this, is that the Lord sees what is going on in our lives, and the choices that we make affect what happens to him. It affects his perspective on us. It affects how he sees us. It affects how he responds to us. Our actions, our good or the bad that we choose to do, are not irrelevant and only affect us. They also affect him. And so as we've looked at is, what is the Lord's favor? The Lord's favor is something that's really about him. It's not something that's about us. It's about him. And this coming week, as there'll be an opportunity for you to volunteer, which I'll talk to you about in a second. There'll be an opportunity for you to volunteer to be a part of what's going on here as far as Operation Christmas Child. But I want you to think through that in a little bit, and understanding that our work, our service, our love for the people around us is not something that is designed for us. It's something that is designed for the Lord. Our actions to earn and to produce the Lord's favor is never intended to be something to make our situation better. It's for his situation to be better. This morning we have on the way out, you'll have an opportunity to go past the Operation Christmas Child. And here's what I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to sign up for a spot at Operation Christmas Child this week. We have different slots, time periods where people are going to be dropped. And I want to challenge each of you to sign up for that. Sign up for one spot. But it's not just doing the Operation Christmas Child that this is about, but it's also about when you're there, I want to challenge you to spend that whole shift, however long it is that you're doing it, to spend that whole time focusing your attention on pleasing the Lord. Spend your whole time as you're doing whatever it is you're doing. There'll be people greeting. There'll be people packing up boxes. There'll be people making coffee or whatever it is that you're doing. Focus your attention that whole time on doing something for the Lord. Without any strings attached, without any expectation of a kickback, without any expectation of what the Lord is going to do for you, but only for Him. And the rationale behind that, or the reason behind that, is we've got to retrain our minds to be able to understand that our actions and the things that we do are not for us. They're really, truly supposed to be for Him. Unfortunately, men, at this time period early on, were living for themselves and causing a great deal of animosity for the Lord. And you and I can choose something different in our own lives. Challenge for you this morning on your way out. Stop it at the table and volunteer for an opportunity this week to be a part of Operation Christmas Child here. This point in the service, we like to take a few minutes and just remember the Lord's, let's call this the Lord's table. It's the Lord just to remember what Christ did on the cross for us. If you didn't pick up one of these disposable communion cups on your way in, just raise your hand. We have some gentlemen in the back who will be happy to get those for you. And what this is an opportunity for us to meet and to just be reminded of what Christ did on the cross for us. What Christ did on the cross for us, not anything that we did, not anything that we deserve, but simply by putting our faith and our trust in Him, we can receive forgiveness for our sins and enter into an intimate relationship with God for eternity. So if you reveal the top part, take out the little wafer. There's two parts to what we do. We remember the body that was broken through the breaking of the bread, and this is just an opportunity for us to remember what Christ did on the cross for us when He died and He gave His life so that our sins could be forgiven. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself." On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and when He broke it, He said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, He took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." What He was saying there is that the blood that He was about to shed would provide the forgiveness of sins for those who put their faith in Him. He said, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And He closed with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes again."
Let's stand and sing once more before we leave this morning.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Sing, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God. overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Comfort this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be by your presence, Lord.
Sing, let us become.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Now all glory to God who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church, and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.